You guys, I'm back once again doing another book review on my little Tomes of Terror show. Now, actually, what I had originally planned to do for today's video was I was going to reread House of Leaves, which I know I've been promising since like the beginning of the year. But as it happened, because it was Halloween week and I was doing a bunch of extra movie reviews and stuff like that, I just didn't have time to get all the way through House of Leaves. So I'm going to save that for next week. But then it so happened that do you guys remember, like, when I did the review of Sons of Abraham? And I said that Turner Publishing had been nice enough to reach out to me and ask if I'd wanted a copy of that for review, you know, like an ARC, advanced reader copy. And they sent me that and I reviewed it. And then they reached out to me once again and asked me if I would like a copy of this book that will be coming out. I believe it's coming out in February of 2022. And so they sent me a copy of this as well. And because this is a much shorter book than House of Leaves, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do this one instead. You know, just because I kind of feel like if they go to all the trouble of sending me a copy, you know, I really want to try and get it read and reviewed like as quickly as possible. I don't really like to leave people waiting around, you know. So I know this book isn't coming out for several more months, but you know, as I said, I was just kind of like glad to get it read and reviewed. And this book is called Spontaneous Human Combustion by Richard Thomas. Now, this is a collection of short stories, and Richard Thomas, he's been around a little while. Like, I've heard the name, and I'm sure I've probably read some of his stories because he's had like over 150 short stories published in various anthologies. He's edited some anthologies, and he's also written, I believe he's written three novels. A lot of people recommend Disintegration, which actually does sound really good, so I'll probably get to that one day too. And this is actually his fourth short story collection. Now, he has a very distinctive writing style. It's almost kind of like, I almost want to say that it's sort of like, it's kind of poetic. It has like a surreal bent to it. It almost has a kind of like a dark neo-noir type of thing. And a lot of the stories, particularly in this collection, come across very much like they're almost, I don't even know. I mean, yes, there are horror stories and they have horror aspects to them, but there's all kind of other stuff going on in there. It's almost kind of like sci-fi. Some of them have like a dark fantasy type or like a surrealist kind of bent to them. They remind me very much, and it's interesting because there's actually a pretty extensive author's notes thing at the end where he kind of like explains, you know, where the ideas for the stories came from. And I always like when writers do that. I've done that in my own short story collections because I wish more writers would do that, but oh well, because I'm interested in how authors got their ideas. So he actually goes quite a bit into where he got the ideas for the stories, where they had previously appeared, because I think all the stories, I think there are 14 stories in here, and all of them previously appeared in other collections. Some of them were like in, you know, Best Horror of the Year and various other ones. So these have all been published before, but now they're all kind of like brought together, like compiled into one work. So he actually did say that some of his stories were inspired by Black Mirror. So if you like Black Mirror, if you like David Lynch, if you like stuff like that, that kind of vibe, I think you'll really, really dig this. I mean, some of it's weird because, like, the first couple stories, like I said, his writing style is very, I don't, it's not like run on sentences necessarily, but it is very, it's very evocative and dreamlike. That's a good word. And amorphous, I think that's maybe the word that kind of like came to me when I was reading the first couple of stories. They're very, so a lot of the stories are not like concrete in the sense that this happens, that happens, that happens. They're ones that you have to, they're kind of like atmosphere, mood, and you kind of have, like, stuff happens in them, but you really kind of have to like pay attention to what's going on because everything's not spelled out. Like I said, I kind of feel like Black Mirror is the thing that a lot that some of these stories like really reminded me of. And like I said, he did say in the end that he really, really liked Black Mirror, and he, you know, liked particular episodes of that, and some of those like gave him ideas for this. And like I said, interestingly too, one of the stories in here he said was actually inspired by David Lynch's Lost Highway. So if you like that kind of stuff, if you really like just kind of like, you know, concrete ABC type horror, then this is probably not for you. This is very, like I said, it's very poetically written, it's very amorphous. Some of the stories, like, not really, like, very few of the stories give you any easy answers. A lot of the stories are have to do with they kind of have a sense of bleakness or desolation to them. There's kind of like, you know, a lot of them are set like after the end of the world or after aliens have taken over or something like that, even though things are not necessarily spelled out, you know, very like really clearly, but you still get a sense of what's going on through the descriptions, I guess. So they're very like atmospheric. And so yeah, and so like I said, if you don't like dig that kind of like surrealist sort of style, then probably you're not gonna like it. But I really, really liked this a lot. Some stories I liked more than others. Interestingly, and maybe maybe this is weird, but the story I liked the best in this, I think it's called Notice Tollens, I think is what it's called. It was actually the story that was the most straightforward of all of them. And he even says in the back, he's like, this was like a weird one. I don't usually write in this style because it's very, very straightforward. And was kind of like Stephen King-like, which it kind of was. It was almost kind of like a like Twilight Zone-y type thing too. And you know how much I love that kind of stuff. So I'm not saying I just particularly like that one because it was the most straightforward and easiest to follow out of all the stories. But for whatever reason, that one really stuck out the most to me. It was not the only one. Actually, there's a lot of really good ones. But in that particular story, it's just basically about this guy who every year on Halloween, him and his friends all get together for this poker game. And, you know, they kind of like sit around and get drunk and whatever. And, you know, as the night goes on, like the last hand, they always kind of like bet really crazy shit. It's just like whatever. There's like, oh, you can have my car, you can have this, that, and the other thing. And they kind of do it every year, and it's super fun. But then this one particular year, this guy named Victor shows up, and nobody's quite sure whose friend he is. Like, whenever people ask him, he's like, hey, like, who are you? Or which one of the guys do you know? He kind of tells each of them, like, a different guy, like, oh, this other guy brought me. But then he tells that guy that this other guy brought me. So nobody really knows where he came from. And basically, what ends up happening is that Victor and the protagonist of the story, like the guy that's telling us the story, they get to the end, like everybody else folds, and they get to the end, and it's like this massive bet. Like Victor is like, you know, if you win, like you can have, it's like some like $60,000 or something like that, and like his Corvette, and it's like his classic Corvette, and all this other kind of stuff. So the protagonist ends up losing. And you know, and he's already bet like his minivan and all of this money that he can't really afford and all this other shit. So Victor actually gives him a kind of a bargain. He says, "I tell you what, you don't have to give up your car. You don't have to like lose to me and everything like that. But what I want you to do, you can actually have my Corvette. You can have all the money. I don't need it. But all I want you to do in return is to take this coin," and it's kind of like this special like gold coin with like a pyramid and stuff like that on it. And he says, "On the first of every month, I want you to flip it 10 times. And if you get 10 heads in a row, then I'm gonna ask you to do something. I'm not gonna spoil what it is." But he's like, you know, he's like, "What have you got to lose?" It's like, "How likely is it that 10 heads will come up in a row?" So the guy's kind of like, okay, like he doesn't really like the idea, like after the dude tells him like what he wants him to do if 10 heads does come up. But he's like, you know, again, how likely is that to happen? So he takes the bargain. Probably surprised no one that eventually, after a long time has passed, 10 heads do come up in a row and he has to make good on the bargain. But yeah, so I think that was probably, I don't know, I was gonna say like, I think that's my favorite story in it. It was for a while until I got to the last story, which is called Ring of Fire, which is actually more of like a novella. It's pretty long and it has like an epilogue as well. And it reminded me a lot. It's funny because So he was, at least I kind of knew where he was coming from, because I'm reading this story and I said, man, this kind of reminds me of that movie Moon with Sam Rockwell in it. And when I was reading the author's notes at the end, he said that that was one of the Moon and Annihilation were where he kind of got the ideas for this. So basically what that story is about is there's a guy and he's in this kind of concrete bunker, like there's like an apartment, like living quarters, but he's working there and he's supposedly like extracting these really, really valuable minerals. And so his job is basically, you know, you go to the drill, he takes the minerals and you have to like separate them out and weigh them and everything. And he does this every single day. And he's not supposed to leave the compound because it's supposedly somewhere like on the Arctic waste, so it's like freezing cold outside. And it's almost, you get a sense like as it goes on, because a lot of these stories, like I said, are very purgatorial. That's a good word for them, where it's somebody who's kind of like trapped in some loop and they can't remember like how long they've been there or, you know, what's going on outside. So this one's very much like that. Like this guy's kind of like, oh, I had this contract for X amount of days. Like I said, that's why it reminded me a lot of Moon, and which is an awesome movie if you haven't seen it, by the way. But yeah, so this story did remind me of that. And he's just like, it's a really boring job and he doesn't see anybody. The only person that he sees is this woman named Rebecca who shows up every 30 days to, you know, check on what he's doing and take his samples and all that other kind of stuff. And it's weird because they start kind of developing like a friendship and then sort of a romance, but then there's other stuff going on. Like sometimes he has, like sometimes there's a spider and like sometimes there's a pet rabbit and sometimes, and like I said, he has like all these memories that he's not sure if they're like real memories or if they've been implanted or how long he's actually been in this place or if somebody's like watching him. So it's just kind of like, it's really, really good. It's like a really compelling story. And then like the more it goes on, the sort of clearer it becomes what exactly is going on. It's almost kind of like he's like an experimental, like a lab rat type of thing. But like I said, I'm not gonna spoil it because I don't really want to spoil any of the stories in this because, you know, this isn't out yet, and it won't be out until early next year. So obviously, you know, most people will not have been able to read it other than if they had like an advanced copy. But yeah, so that is also like a really great story. I think one of the other ones that stood out a lot, and it's actually pretty short, it's called From Within. And again, this is a story where everything is just kind of done by like implication, suggestion. Like nothing is spelled out like, you know, this happened and so this is what the world is like now. But it just kind of like throws you into the atmosphere of or the world, and you just kind of have to like, you know, find your way through it. So in From Within, there's like a man and his son. And clearly, something really, really bad has happened on Earth. Apparently, like some kind of weird aliens, like alien overlords, have like taken over, and they're like these big floating kind of creatures. And they pretty much put all the humans to work, like in mines, because there's some particular mineral, like I said, that they need to survive. So all the humans just do like this backbreaking labor all day long. And you know, I mean, the opening of the story is so great, where just like this person like comes into this man and son's apartment or whatever, and like just starts measuring the kid. You know what I mean? And like as it goes on, like you know why they're measuring the kid, what they need it for. And that one actually, I don't know, is this too much of a spoiler? That one actually kind of has sort of a happy ending, or at least a hopeful ending. Most of these do not. Like I said, a lot of these are very bleak, kind of desolate sort of stories. A lot of them are, you know, people stuck in these kind of like purgatorial loops, perhaps of their own making. So it really has this kind of, and like I said, it does have a kind of like neo-noir type of thing too. It's often called like transgressive fiction. They'd call it that too. But it's just kind of like this, you know, it's really hard to describe like the writing style, but if you know, you know. This kind of reminded me a little, I have to say, this reminded me slightly of, if you guys remember, like a while back, I reviewed another short story collection, which was Wounds by Nathan Ballingrud. And this kind of is like that. It's not like exactly the same, but it's like a similar, that's like a similar sort of genre, I guess, if you want to call it that. So if you're really into that book, which, like I said, was kind of like a surrealist sort of thing, then you'd probably really, really dig this as well. This is the first Richard Thomas that I've read. He has like a lot of, like I said, he's been in a shit ton of short story, like anthologies. He's done stuff with like Chuck Palahniuk, who has a blurb here on the cover. So, and also, so if you like that kind of stuff, just kind of weird fiction in general, then probably you will really, really dig this. And, you know, like I said, and I only brought up like three of the stories in there that stood out to me the most, but there are like all, pretty much all of these are pretty awesome. Those three were my favorite ones, but I mean, the first story, Repent, is also pretty great. So it's just a really good, creepy, unsettling kind of, like I said, surrealist sort of stories, and they all kind of have, I mean, they're all different and they all have like different stories, but they all have kind of like similar themes to them, so the collection really does hang together quite well, even though the stories, I believe, were written over like a 5-year time period, you know, and appeared in various anthologies, and some of the stuff was written with specific things in mind, like there was a couple stories in here that are kind of nominally about clowns, sort of. One in particular is about this clown named Crinkles, but the reason that he wrote that was because there was another anthology, like a multi-author anthology, and it was kind of all set in the same world about this character, Crinkles the Clown, but he went like really strange with it, like really cosmic. There's also like a couple of sort of like Lovecraftian stories in here. One in particular, which is called In His House, which is, you know, straight up Lovecraftian. And it's also kind of written in sort of like an epistolary style, as though it's a letter addressed to you, the reader. And I also quite liked that one as well. But yeah, definitely check this out. Like I said, this is, it'll be out in February of 2022. I believe you can pre-order it at the moment on Amazon. And there's a couple of kind of big like Publishers Weekly and stuff like that have already reviewed it. So like I said, they've been sending out advanced reader's copy, of which I got one right here. Like I said, advanced reader's copy. I feel so special. But yeah, so definitely, if you dig Black Mirror or like any kind of surrealist neo-noir type fiction, then you definitely need to check this out, because this will be right up your alley. So yeah, that'll do it for this Tomes of Terror, and I will be back on the next one. Bye.